You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Second half of the show is live, and Dwight starts it off from Minnesota. Hello, Dwight.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
I'm a diehard Oklahoma Sooner fan.
Boomer.
I was born and raised there. I just want to say, boy, I just can't wait for OU to step up in competition and everything. Coming to the Southeast Conference, that's something they needed to do a long time ago.
You know, there's been some conversation about it for some time, but I'm glad it finally happened. I think OU is a perfect member.
Yeah. It's going to take them a couple of years.
Good.
To really challenge for anything, you know, in football and basketball. Well, softball, we got the Sooner women, and those gals, I think, they can compete in any conference. But
that's the best softball program anywhere.
Basketball, those are the big sports. And it's going to take OU a couple of years, you know. I have confidence in Coach Venables, I'm just happy to see it.
We are too. And Dwight, thank you so much. You just stay tuned as we get closer to July 1st. We will have a lot to do with welcoming both Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Larry in Lexington. Hello, Larry.
Paul?
Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy. I'm calling in regards to Calipari, man. We cannot take any more of this. We have three coaches. I'm going to give you three names, okay?
Sure.
Kira Elzey, Mark Stoops, John Calipari. Name the last coach that won in the SEC championship.
Elzey.
And she's fired.
Yeah, so she won about two or three years ago. She won the tournament.
I don't get it.
I hated to see her go. I was a huge fan of hers.
And Calipari, he's a great guy. You know, he cares about the kids, but and a great recruiter. Just not fitting us no more in Lexington.
Yeah,
I
think at some point, I said yesterday I thought they had a chance to go to the Final Four, so I don't want to act like I've just departed Calipari's bandwagon, but at some point you have to accept the reality. It's not going to happen. If you want to, it's still a great program under him. They had huge wins this year over Auburn and Alabama and Tennessee. They play on a big stage every night. But if you care about what's the most important thing in college basketball, and that's March Madness, then I think you just simply have to accept the fact that he's not going to ever do anything different than what we saw this year, last year, and the year before. Fred is next in Memphis. So hello, Fred.
Hey, Paul. You got a little conversation going on about Coach Calipari today. And,
yes, sir.
Being an old Kentucky boy, going back to the day when Adolph Rupp spoke at my high school banquet when I was a junior in high school. So I don't think you can go back too much further than that basketball.
That's a long way back.
But I'll ask you one question before I get to Calipari. You've heard a conversation about the Fab Five, and you know who they were.
Oh, sure. Mr.
Well, you know there was a Fabulous Five before the Fab Five. Where did they come from?
They played at Kentucky, didn't they?
They played at Kentucky. I can name all five of them, and it was 1948. And not only that, but they won a gold medal in the 1948 Olympics. So
sure did.
I know a little bit about or have a connection to Kentucky basketball. But when Coach Cal was here in Memphis, that's where I live now, and I liked him, wonderful personality. But when his name came up about the Kentucky job, I prayed to the good Lord, please, please don't let him go up there. And so I had a little inside information and inside connection to his household, and I said, he won't make it. He may make it for a while, but he won't make it because of the tradition of basketball in the state of Kentucky. It is a religion. It is a religion, and if Coach Cal survives this year, I will be greatly surprised. You got to get away from one and done and go back to at least two and 3 years in this day of college basketball.
Fred, thank you very much. A friend of mine told me this early this morning. He covered Cal in Memphis, and he said that when Cal left there, he told this reporter, he said, I won't be there more than 10 years because you can't stay anywhere more than 10 years. I mean, he had an amazing run at Memphis, and outside of one of the greatest choke jobs I have ever seen in a national championship, I think they were leading Kansas by 8 points with under 2 minutes. Yeah. I mean, as somebody who grew up a fan of that program, that was torture. But Cal left, and the mistake Cal made, and it happens to everybody, doesn't matter whether you're a talk show host, an entertainer, you start to believe your own press. And he thought he was invincible, and he probably should have left a couple of years ago. I think UCLA wanted him, NBA schools wanted him. But it's never quite been the same since 2015 when they threw away a shot at the greatest season in college basketball history. Nearly got back to the Final Four a couple years later and lost on a last-second shot to North Carolina. But played Auburn, I think, in the Elite Eight 5 or 6 years ago. But after that, it's been just one long political speech after another trying to sell everybody on what he's done, not what he's going to do. Let's check in with Guppy in South Carolina. Hello, Guppy.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions in a moment about that you can help me with your law degree and your law experience. But first thing, were you talking to a player from Columbia, South Carolina earlier?
Yeah, we had Rocket Sanders on.
Oh, okay. Have you been to that stadium down there in Columbia, South Carolina?
I most certainly have, many times.
Okay, me and my friends go down there every other year or so, and we always have a big time. And I do want to commend them on the greatest warehouses, dumpsters, and porta toilets out in the tailgate lots of anywhere we go. It's beautiful. So anyway, the question I have you kept up with some of the fine details of the ACC lawsuits?
Yeah, I mean, I've kept up with as much as I can get my hands on. I have some, I wouldn't call it expertise, but I have some local knowledge of what's going on.
Okay. Well, it's all about the TV contract,
right,
and all, and the money that's owed if a school tries to leave. But one thing interesting, the main thing I want to comment on, is probably for 7 or 8 years we've been told that Clemson, especially, or another ACC team couldn't leave because the contract is locked in through 2036.
Right.
Okay. Florida State, in their discovery, came out that there's a clause that ESPN can renew or not beginning in 27, and they've got to announce that by the first of the year in February.
Yeah, Guppy, allow me to offer this. You have just isolated the most important aspect of all of this. And what that clause in the contract says, essentially, is that ESPN is contracted for X number of more years. I think that look-in clause allows them to extend it beyond, and I would never speak for the company, but that's where everybody, that's the date next winter, I think it's February 1st, that everyone is watching. because depending on what ESPN does in that in that moment may very well determine what happens after that.
Well, I could be wrong, but I think what they have to say is they can be out of it by they can go out of it in 26. They've got an option to renew or not from 27 to 36.
I think you are correct in that. I'm being very careful because I don't want to get I don't want to end up speaking for the company I work for because I don't speak for them.
I understand, Paul. Thank you for the time.
You're right. That is critical. Guppy, thank you. It's an important moment. I don't think this is ever going to see a courtroom. I think what you have now from two schools and probably more to come is it's a power play. They're hoping there's also a requirement in there about the number of schools the ACC must have. That is why they went out at a fire sale last summer and took in SMU, Stanford, and California. Everybody said, why are they doing that? That makes no sense. Of course it didn't make any sense, except that they now have protection legally in the event that they lose a couple of schools. Now, if they go below a certain number, the contract becomes diminished. It sounds like we're at some law school right now, but that's where it is. And in the simplest terms possible, everything is geared toward next year. Never get into a courtroom. There'll be a lot of yelling and screaming and countersuing and appealing and trying to get into a different venue. But ultimately, the moment of truth comes in about 10 months for the ACC. We'll take a short break. We're back with much more after that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So an update. South Carolina, is that a final now? Wow. 91-39. That close, huh? LSU under Kim Mulkey. Rather narrow halftime lead a couple other games later. The men, Auburn, off to a wobbly start. It's worth remembering the year Auburn went to the Final Four, they nearly lost the opening round game, so don't read too much into it. Oh, Florida's underway as well, playing Colorado. Dominic in Pittsburgh is up next.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Hey there, Dominique.
Yeah, I'm real tired from last night's game, but those were awesome.
So tell us about it.
Did you get a chance to watch that Oakland-Kentucky game?
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't have missed that for the world.
Oh, yeah. Number three, Jack. He was jacking up them threes, baby. And he made every single one.
Were you pulling for Oakland?
Yeah, I got a Kentucky shirt to go down to Pittsburgh so I could get a shirt, but no. The tides turned, and I was cheering for them Oakland Golden Grizzlies.
There were a lot of people pulling for Oakland. The Grizz.
Yeah, that was a crazy. And whenever NC State was playing Texas Tech last night, it was even crazier because you know that DJ Burns dude on NC State?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, so when the point guard had the ball, they were just like, everybody in the arena was just like, they were not really, they were just sitting down. But when they gave it to Burns, everyone was like, yeah, he did the spin move. Man, he's underrated. His footwork's amazing, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah, and hopefully Bama can get some of these recruits this weekend because they're rolling in. And also hopefully Tennessee can win this weekend against Texas.
Amazing time of the year, Dominic.
Yeah, are you going to that Tennessee game?
I might have to. What do you think? Should I dress up as a Smokey?
Yeah, go right ahead, Paul.
I'm going to go incognito as Smokey. With war paint.
Yeah. Uh-huh, and what are you thinking about this Bama game tonight?
Bama's in good shape, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I feel like Mark Steers is going to have a hell of a game.
Ooh, I like a kid like that's confident of his team.
Yeah, I sure am. And I feel like Oates definitely practiced defense, and he definitely practiced offense, and they're ready to roll. Roll damn Tide, Paul. See you later, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Susie is up next.
Somehow, Paul, I knew that you were going to pick up my call after Dominic.
You know all my moves, Susie. I can't believe it.
Oh, I know all your moves, Paul. They're pretty fine. My son just walked. I'm talking to Paul, Nate. My son just walked in. He's laughing at me. First of all, I'm kind of worried, Paul, about Legend. Did
Why?
Legend, my black hat brother, did he say the other day he was betting on Kentucky?
Yes, he did.
And if Kentucky won, he was going to be in the money.
Yeah. I wonder why we haven't heard from Legend yet today. He's at the... what do you call those things where you the check places?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yes.
I don't know.
He's getting a same-day loan at a strip mall right next to the dollar store.
Right. But that was my first thought. Not that Kentucky lost, but that, oh, dear Legend, I'm so sorry.
I have a feeling we'll hear from Legend.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we will, and say hello to him for me. But, Dominic, I'm so glad you got to go to those games. And you know, Paul, Pitt and Dominic and I in this fun tournament, and that's what it is, I'm not going to talk smack about a kid. I'm a teacher. I have never talked smack about my kids. I mean, because they're my kids that I've taught, and I just always want to teach them to come away from me, maybe they'll learn math or whatever, but more often come away from me and learn how to be a good human being and learn how to be a leader. And everybody can be a leader, but you need to lead in the right direction because you can lead to the wrong and you can lead to the right. And I think Dominic has everything to lead to the right. And he's a great kid, and you know I wish him well. Certainly,
no, he is, and I think we have similar thoughts about some of the things that he says and how he says them. But I am not his father, and you are not his mother. Cody is up next, though, from Georgia. Hello, Cody.
Hey, Paul. Happy Friday. How's it going?
It is going great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna change directions here a little bit. I wanted to talk to you about, like, the NIL and the transfer portal, with it being so crazy and all, with them going more, it seems like they're going more towards a professional-style platform with the players getting paid and all. With all the transfers and everything, why don't they set up, like, contracts as far as players being able to, when they transfer, they go to these schools where they could keep them there for, like, multiple years?
Well, I mean, there's a legal issue right now with that. I think that ultimately is where we're going, though.
Yeah, it seems like that would be the way to go because, I mean, that way they could help develop the players, could have them there longer, you know, and the people that's funding the NIL and all, you know, it seems like they'd be able to set up something to where, you know, they could put them on like a 2-year deal or something like that.
Well said. Thank you very, very much for the call. Check in next with Tim, who is up next. Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's going on, man? I just want to know what happened to Kentucky, man. That's my home state, man. You know, I'm from Alabama, but I just don't understand what happened.
What happened was the same thing that happens every year. They get in the NCAA tournament and lay an egg.
Yeah, that's what happened, man. If you say, I think a bunch of freshmen, man, they just lost it.
That's what happens when. That's a shame, though. That is a shame. You're right. Tom is in Tampa. Hey, Tom, go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, Paul. How are you? Thanks
You're
for
doing
taking
great.
My call. It's
fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, to follow up with Tim, let me ask you a question. Obviously, you're very knowledgeable in all areas and certainly the SEC. So let me ask you a question. In the world we live in today and all the unrest with a lot of things, with Cal and Kentucky, I guess I'll come up with a good word. If he wasn't owed the money he's owed, it's almost like he's holding him ransom.
Well,
you know?
but that's it's what, like, okay, I think the easy way to answer this, Tom, and I used an example earlier of talking to some people in the industry. I think if he had a normal buyout, they would have probably let him go today because...
no question.
What programs, after this last 5 years, the program is stale. Yeah, it has all the things that are great, and there's no place more exciting to be on a Saturday afternoon or night than Kentucky, but ultimately, when you win as often as they have, you can't get away with this. If this had been a business, right, you would make a change. But
no question.
The cost is prohibitive. And the contract, right. I don't think it's a straight $33 million buyout. There's a clause. And by the way, yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if John Calipari wouldn't want out too. I mean, he could land a job. Now, he would get a job tomorrow. That's the smart thing to do. And I wouldn't, knowing that he's far more PR savvy than he is X's and O's savvy, I wouldn't be surprised to see him leak a story at some opening out there. And there's some good ones out there. Hitting the break, much more to come. David Ubben from The Athletic will join us right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. David Ubben joining us from The Athletic. And we have certainly been obsessed with March Madness today, and that won't change. But there are some many other things happening on. David talking, doing a lot of reporting and writing about where we are from a recruiting standpoint right now. David, thank you. I hate to take you away from the games. There are a couple of pretty good ones going on, but we want to get but how's everything going?
It's going good. Going good. Spring football heating up, and should be interesting. So, yeah, appreciate you having me on.
So let's talk about some of your recent reporting. I know you've dug pretty deep into what's happening, which way things are going. Tell us about it.
In which respect?
The recruiting confidential that you recently wrote.
Oh, yes, Atlanta. Yes, apologies. Yeah, so we talked to a bunch of coaches in the Atlanta area of sort of, who is doing what in Atlanta. And I think the biggest thing you take away from that is, if you're rooting for the downfall of the Georgia dynasty, I have some bad news for you. You know, I think that the, you know, every coach you talk to, literally every coach we talked to said Kirby Smart is the best head coach that they have dealt with in recruiting. And some of the other stories that we got, I mean, you get this, you get the understanding of the doggedness and how you recruit top-ranked classes over and over again. And, you know, I'm of the mind that Georgia is the best job in the sport. You know, institutional support, all of those things are important. But the proximity to talent and the fact that they don't really have another rival in state, that gives them, you know, the edge to me. And Atlanta just is so rich with talent, and they make that such an effort. And the funny thing is, as well as they've recruited, they actually haven't killed it in Atlanta, despite the fact that operation is pretty serious there. So there's still room for improvement for the Dogs. But a lot of interesting takeaways, and I'd encourage folks to go read it. Anytime you're talking to high school coaches about recruiting, you're going to get a variety of opinions, but certainly some themes will stand out to you.
David, certainly that is one of the richest areas in the entire country for recruiting. But, mm-hmm. but that's not exactly how things work anymore. This isn't the 70s and 80s where you put picket mm-hmm. fences up on your border. What is driving, what's continuing to drive people toward Kirby Smart at really an astonishing rate?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting because I agree with you that college football recruiting is less regional than it's ever been. But in the same breath, it's still inherently regional. You know, if you grow up in Georgia, and even though there's, you know, growing transplants and that whole concept of a transplant, I think, I'd like to see a number from like 1970 to 2024. I'm assuming that more people, you know, with the connectivity of the world are willing to move away from family. But ultimately, you know, if you're in a talent-rich area and a good portion of guys, you know, grow up, you know, idolizing the logo, and if you're winning as many games as Georgia is, that number is certainly growing. You know, I think that you can set yourself up for it, but you know, it's doing all those things. Those are sort of natural advantages, but you know, as Texas has shown us over the last 10, 15 years, that doesn't mean everything. You got to have a lot of other things in place. And then now you throw in the portal, where I think that the big thing about the portal is not so much, you know, scouting and recruiting. It's what's your team culture like? Do you guys want to be in the facility? Retention is, I think, maybe more important than your ability to go get guys in the portal. If you can keep guys out of the portal, that's the most valuable thing. And how do you do that? Culture and money. And Georgia seems willing to play the game and do both of those things. And so even though I agree with you that college recruiting has changed a lot, you know, those regional sort of aspects of things and being able to build those relationships, I think are still the foundation of being great.
David Ubbin with us from The Athletic. I know you've also recently would not be the operative word. You've been in Colorado for, I don't know how many times you've made the trip to Boulder. you know where all the head shops are by now, I'm sure. So tell us this, how does year two shape up for Dion out there on the Rocky Mountain highs?
Well, the program's kind of in a weird place right now. You know, you start 3-0, you're quite literally on top of the college football world for a brief moment, and then you win one more game the rest of the season. So the big thing, I think, for Colorado is just the staff has a lot of questions. You know, for all the speculation and, you know, backroom snickering about the state of the roster at Colorado and kind of the big talk that Dion that made him who he was as a player and carried over to him in his coaching career. The one thing that nobody ever seemed to question at Colorado is they've got a pretty good staff. You know, Charles Kelly is a guy that's been around that people really respected. Sean Lewis, one of the better offensive minds in the sport. You know, some young coaches. Nick Williams is one that has really been a big-time recruiter for them and is a guy that's an up-and-comer in the profession. But then you lose all those guys, and you bring in Pat Shurmur. You know, you promote him to offensive coordinator. He hasn't coached college football since, like, 1998. You're hoping to continue that and bring on the sort of NFLification, if we can use that word, of your program. And then you bring in Rob Livingston from Cincinnati, certainly a good young coach, but also a guy that has never called plays and hasn't been an on-field coach at college literally ever, and now he's going to be a coordinator. So you got a lot of questions. And you bring on Phil Loadholt, you know, Vincent Dancy, two position coaches that have never been position coaches in college football. You got a lot of experience, area experience across your staff. To say nothing of, you know, Deion Sanders himself in experience coaching. So, you know, I think ultimately the roster is probably a little bit better. You know, no major, major losses. They added a bunch of nice pieces in the portal. But the sustainability of the whole thing, when you're sort of shrugging off high school recruiting, leaning so heavily on the portal, you know, I think Deion would say, well, people want to win now. And to some degree, that's true. But you have to build something sustainable, and they don't seem to have a ton of interest in that. So it's a weird spot for them, and I think they gained probably a lot of doubters the way that they finished up last season. And, you know, as much as Deion likes to say they only got, you know, really beaten badly in two games, you look at those games, you know, there wasn't a ton of games that felt like, oh, those could have probably gone either way. But meanwhile, you have the TCU game, which they won, which definitely could have gone either way. The Colorado State game, which they probably should have lost. And then they beat Arizona State on the last thing a field goal, finished the season without beating a team that went to a bowl game. So it's a weird spot for the program. They've got a lot to prove. And, you know, the sustainability of this whole thing and the coaching staff are pretty big question marks to me.
David, certainly last year was a phenomenon. By the end of the season, most of us had moved on. What does the schedule shape up like for them? I mean, in terms of capturing the moment, because it's a pretty narrow moment if you don't win.
Well, so it's going to be interesting. You know, I think overall they're not going to have like behemoths on the schedule. You know, like you saw in the Pac-12 last year. There's no Oregon that's going to be coming to town. But, you know, you're moving to the Big 12. But their season opener is really the opposite of what they had last year, where you have a rebooting TCU team that, you know, played in the national championship game, starts the season in the top 20, despite, you know, losing a ton of NFL talent. You know, Colorado beats that team, and you're saying, well, how good is this team really? You know, maybe they're going to surprise some people. And they get a ton of credit, a ton of street credit, a ton of boost off of that win. TCU ends up, you know, not playing in a bowl game. And I think that, you know, when you look at the full season, you know, that game probably plays out that way pretty similarly, and that TCU team was not what we thought they were at the start of the season. You get the exact opposite to start this year. Nobody's going to give them credit if they beat an FCS team, but they got a North Dakota State team that's got a lot of national championship trophies that in their trophy case coming into Boulder to start the season. A team that definitely can beat you. And how does North Dakota State win those championships? By being really great on the lines of scrimmage. And those are the two biggest question marks for this Colorado team. That is the polar opposite of an opener, where nobody's going to care if you win that game, but if you lose it, you're going to have some issues. You're going to have an improved Nebraska team in week two, of course. And then you know, you're going to have to adjust to a move into the Big 12. I don't think it'll be a huge issue for them. It's not like, you know, TCU and Baylor in the early days moving up, or UConn moving up. It's sort of a lateral move, but there's challenges in all that, and, you know, you still have a changing roster and a changing coaching staff. There's challenges there. So there's not going to be a ton of games that they absolutely can't win. But the Big 12, you know, if you watch them, I mean, the gap between number one and number 12, and, you know, it's pretty small. And, you know, you there's a bunch of teams on there that can beat up on each other, and that's going to be a challenge from week to week.
David Ubben from The Athletic. David, tell Deion I'll be out there for one of those games with Shannon and Stephen A. and The Rock. Just save us a seat or a spot on the sideline. We're up against the break. It's been a fun conversation with David Ubben. We'll update you on the games in a couple of minutes. A number of them are going on right now at the half. We've already seen quite a bit already today. More of your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back, and Mitch is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Mitch, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I really enjoy the show. Just had two quick questions. Number one, Kentucky, do they have, in your opinion, a coaching problem, or do they have a one-and-done problem? And after that, you can answer, if you're on the phone, who is your first phone call if Kentucky separates herself from John Calipari?
Yeah, thanks for the call. I think they've dealt with it both. So, I mean, I think you have to start at the top. The real question about your second question is how they manage the separation, assuming they do, and what kind of financial situation they are in. I mean, I don't think they would make that change unless they felt comfortable and confident that they could go get the best available coach. I mean, it's a dream job. No matter what has happened lately, you could argue it's the best college basketball job in America without really getting much debate. Thanks for the call. Bubba is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
What's shaking, Pablo?
We are doing great.
Hey, I tell you what, that was a great interview. Hey, Randy, I tell you what, that was a great interview with the Amari Thomas there yesterday.
Thank you.
He's not only a fine young man, he's a beast on the football field.
He is.
But I tell you what, I was impressed with Josh Heupel. He recruited his leadership back at the end of the year. A lot of people was giving him heat about not taking a lot of guys out of the portal. He re-recruited his own roster. And I think it's going to pay big for him with a sophomore quarterback. You know, with the talent he's got. Number two, the Tennessee Vols men basketball team came out and took care of business last night. I was thoroughly impressed.
They were outstanding.
They didn't play down to their competition. They could have competed tit for tat with UConn last night. I mean, they came focused.
I think this is the year. You and I both have talked about that, but they seem primed.
Well, if it's not, if Rick Barnes doesn't pull it off this year, I don't know when he will.
Well, he's not going to if he doesn't pull it off this year.
The only thing that worries me a little bit is they get on these offensive dry spells. If they can avoid that and keep scoring consistently and not lean totally on Connect, they could take it all the way. But I've been noticing a trend on your show for a few weeks here I wanted to ask you about.
What is that?
Well, you've been called a dirty SOB, scumbag, rubber-necked, butt-kissing, son of a gun, no good, cheating, lying, bracket rigging, caller favoring, no good, whatever, talk show host. And yet they call every freaking day. They can't wait to call again tomorrow. What is that?
Well, I think you're primarily talking about one person, aren't you?
No, it's been across the board. You've been catching it from I-Man, Jim,
well,
Johnny
yeah, no,
B.
You're right.
Come on, man.
I forgot about I-Man because he's easy to forget. Yeah, there's a handful, but it doesn't bother me.
Paul, I know it doesn't bother you. It's comical in a way, but they can't wait for the 24 hours to go by to call again. You know what I call that? We used to call that kindergarten. That's about the best way I could put it. But you have a great weekend.
Bubba, thank you very, very much. Let's check in next with Logan. Hello, Logan. You're on the air.
Hey, happy Friday, Paul. Hey, I think Bubba was a big snub on the bracket. I didn't see him in there, man.
Is Bubba in the bracket? I thought he was. He is not.
Is he?
You're right. Bubba was a major snub. You can tell. Randy's not involved in the bracket because Bubba would have been the number one seed.
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah, man. Bubba, I like Bubba. He's a good caller. I had to phone check a couple guys, though. That cat name expired, like, I mean, whatever, like, expired.
Man, I know expired. I met expired this year in College Station. He does not like you.
Yeah, I don't know what his deal is, man, but anybody that would call himself expired is got to be a hater, self-hater. And, I mean, he's like a little 13-year-old girl. He calls in, who's hot, who's not, who's hot and who's not. I mean, expired, nobody gives a damn about your opinion, man. You know, you call me the worst caller. Dude, nobody cares about you. I don't know what you are. He's got to be some MAGA sycophant, Paul. I don't get it, man. And he was telling some joke about my wife or something, and nobody got that. I don't know what the hell he was talking about. Like, talking about she lived in Washington, D.C. or something. It was totally over my head.
Well, he was talking about when you said your wife had gone back to Canada. He made some point. I think he was talking about the president blaming the former president blaming. I don't care, and I don't even remember anymore. Do you?
Yeah, I don't. I don't know what he was talking about, but that guy is. Yeah, he's a joke, man. Like, whatever he calls in, he thinks he's like part of the program. He can say who's hot, who's not. But I don't know.
Randy and I do that all the time, don't we, Randy? Like, who's hot and who's not? You don't do that anymore?
Well, yeah, you guys can do it, but you guys are part of the show. This guy is just some caller, so I don't buy that. But what I was thinking is I've pretty much lost that MAGA.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.